last one. Ashvamedhina. May the Ashvamedha sacrifice. Yajamane. When he was performing the sacrifice. Yajupatim. For the satisfaction of the Lord of Yajna, Vishnu. Vanye, the son of King Vena. Yajnapashum, the animal meant to be sacrificed in the Yajna. Spardhan, being envious. Apovaha, stole. Tirohitaha, being invisible. When Prithu Maharaj was performing the last horse sacrifice, Ashvamedha Yajna, King Indra, invisible to everyone, stole the horse intended for sacrifice. He did this because of his great envy of King Prithu. Say after me. When Prithu Maharaj was performing the last horse sacrifice, Ashvamedha Yajna, King Indra, invisible to everyone, stole the horse intended for sacrifice. He did this because of his great envy of King Prithu. Srila Prabhupada's purport. King Indra is known as Shatakratu, which indicates that he has performed 100 horse sacrifices, Ashvamedha Yajna. We should know, however, that the animals sacrificed in the Yajna were not killed. If the Vedic mantras were properly pronounced during the sacrifice, the animal sacrificed would come out again with a new life. That is the test for a successful Yajna. When King Prithu was performing 100 Yajnas, Indra became very envious because he did not want anyone to excel him. Being an ordinary living entity, he became envious of King Prithu, and thus, making himself invisible, he stole the horse and thus impeded the Yajna performance. I'm going to go on today and read and do text 12 also. We've gone over these points before about the sacrifice and concerning the envy of King Indra. So now the next verse will tell us some of the consequences of that envy. Text 12. Tamatriya Bhagavan Aikshat Twaramanam Vihayasa Amuktam Iva Pakhandam Yo Dharme Dharma Vibramaha. Translation. When King Indra was taking away the horse, he dressed himself to appear as a liberated person. Actually, this dress was a form of cheating, for it falsely created an impression of religion. When Indra went into outer space in this way, the great sage Atri saw him and understood the whole situation. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word pakhanda used in this verse is sometimes pronounced pashanda. Both of these words indicate an impostor who presents himself as a very religious person, but in actuality is sinful. Indra took up the saffron-colored dress as a way of cheating others. This saffron dress has been misused by many impostors who present themselves as liberated persons or incarnations of God. In this way, people are cheated. As we have mentioned many times, the conditioned soul has a tendency to cheat. Therefore, this quality is also visible in a person like King Indra. It is understood that even King Indra is not liberated from the clutches of material contamination. Thus the words amuktam iva, meaning as if he were liberated, are used. The saffron dress worn by a sannyasi announces to the world that he has renounced all worldly affairs and is simply engaged in the service of the Lord. Such a devotee is actually a sannyasi, or liberated person. In Bhagavad Gita 6.1 it is said, Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya sa sannyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriya. One who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. In other words, one who offers the results of his activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually a sannyasi and yogi. Cheating sannyasis and yogis have existed since the time of Prithu Maharaj's sacrifice. This cheating was very foolishly introduced by King Indra. In some ages, such cheating is very prominent, and in other ages, not so prominent. It is the duty of a sannyasi to be very cautious because, as stated by Lord Chaitanya, sannyasira ulpachidra sarvaloke gai, a little spot in a sannyasi's character will be magnified by the public. And that's Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 12:51. Therefore, unless one is very sincere and serious, he should not take up the order of sannyas. One should not use this order as a means to cheat the public. It is better not to take up sannyas in this age of Kali, because provocations are very strong in this age. Only a very exalted person, advanced in spiritual understanding, should attempt to take up sannyas. One should not adopt this order as a means of livelihood or for some material purpose. So again, the translations 11 and 12. When Prithu Maharaj was performing the last horse sacrifice, Ashwamedha Yajna, King Indra, invisible to everyone, stole the horse intended for sacrifice. He did this because of his great envy of King Prithu. When King Indra was taking away the horse, he dressed himself to appear as a liberated person. Actually, this dress was a form of cheating, for it falsely created an impression of religion. When Indra went into outer space in this way, the great sage Atri saw him and understood the whole situation. So Indra is Shatakratu, he who has performed 100 horse sacrifices. This horse sacrifice was especially meant for kings to perform. Here Indra is referred, Maharaj Prithu is referred to as the Yajjamana, the patron of the sacrifice, he to whom the benefit of the sacrifice accrues. So you can perform a horse sacrifice only after all other kings have granted homage unto you. That's one of the prerequisites of horse sacrifice. The horse is sent out on a circuit, and anyone whose lands crosses has to pay tribute. If they don't, then there's a fight. So 100 horse sacrifices, that's the ultimate in royalty, which was right for King Prithu to perform because he's the incarnation of the Lord's potency of rulership. So he was about, this is the last sacrifice. He had performed 99 horse sacrifices successfully. So this is the last one. So at this point, Indra slips in, makes himself invisible, and steals away the horse, thus baffling this endeavor. Prabhupada mentions here that the horse is sacrificed, but when there were success, this was the horse would come back out again alive. This is the test of successful sacrifice, the potency of the mantras of the brahmanas was such that they would bring the horse back alive. Then you knew that the sacrifice itself was successful, that the other benefits of the sacrifice would be there because the mantras were potent. Prabhupada compares this to sometimes using animals in a laboratory to test. So because there are no more potent Brahmins anymore to perform these sacrifices, they're no longer there, one of the things that's outlawed in Kali Yuga is Ashwamedha Yajna. And the same verse in the Shastra which outlaws Ashwamedha Yajna also outlaws the taking of sannyas in Kali Yuga. So that's a general rule. Because, as Prabhupada says in the next verse, this age is very, very difficult. Provocations are very strong in this age. So sannyas is actually outlawed. Now Lord Chaitanya himself took sannyas at the age of 24. And he set an example. And we also, following Lord Chaitanya, accept sannyas. And the reason is that it's possible to become a sannyas because of param disva nivartate, that one is not simply giving up everything, but is engaging the senses in the service of Krishna consciousness, and in service of Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. So therefore it is actually possible to renounce the world. But still, one has to be very, very careful, as this warning is given here by Srila Prabhupada. So Indra's specific contribution is this cheating. He dressed himself in saffron, which is the symbol of a liberated person, the garb of a sannyas. He's advertised to the world, I have given up all worldly affairs. I am simply engaged in the service of the Lord. So if one, after that, cheats, because Indra here is a cheater, he's doing this because he's envious of Prithu. So in order to remain unharmed, and Prithu will not later on, Prithu won't harm him because he thinks he's actually a renounced person. But this is cheating. So cheating in the name of religion is highly condemned by Lord Chaitanya. Certainly in the Kali Yuga, this is the characteristic of the Kali Yuga, that one of the characteristics is that people will be misled. There's so many difficulties in Kali Yuga for everybody. People have short lived, bad memories, always disturbed. But they will also be misled, misguided. Misguided means that they will be cheated in the name of religion, that very few people will actually want to take to spiritual life in this age because of the temperature of sense gratification is turned up so high. And then characteristic of Kali Yuga, that as soon as they turn to spiritual life, there are so many cheaters present to befool them. And usually these cheaters are there to preach some kind of compromise. Because real religious principles mean sarva dharman prajaja mamekam sharanam braja, to give up all other shelters and take shelter of Krishna alone. In order to be liberated from this material world, one has to be free from sense gratification. This is the actual fact. So real religious principles teaches you how to become free from sense gratification. Even if it's allowed as gradually that one should become disentangled. And so in some ways there's compromise made that yes, you can gradually give up sense gratification, but this has to be kept in mind always, what the actual standard of spiritual life is. Freedom from sense gratification. And there must be ideal people who have actually achieved this position of freedom from sense gratification to show the way. There must be acharyas, that is, those people who teach by their example. Therefore, seeing such an example of such exalted personalities, people will become inspired and be able to see. Actually, where one would not have known. The high standard of Krishna consciousness would have seemed impossible to us in the beginning if we had not had the personal example of Srila Prabhupada to show us. So example is always much more powerful than precept. But in this Kali Yuga, the difficulty is that there are people who will preach the precept but not show the example. They're cheaters in the name of religion. So this is a devastation. So every block of the city of Philadelphia has got its church. And this is Sunday morning. And these churches will be filled with people. And preachers will be getting up in the pulpits and they'll be preaching the word of God. People will be listening. Having listened to the word of God, they will go home and perform so many sinful activities. So what good are all these churches and what good are all these pulpits? Because there are no acharyas in them. People are not showing by their example. They have compromised in so many ways with sense gratification. So because of this, religion has a very, very bad name. And we sometimes find it very, very difficult to preach to people who at some time in their life have gotten involved with religious groups and have been cheated. And many people becoming devotees have had gotten advice from their worldly friends or worldly wise parents. Don't get involved. I know these people. They're all cheaters. And of course, we've all, in our preaching experience, maybe we've been cheated in the past. Or in our preaching experience, we've met so many other people who have been cheated and are very reluctant to surrender. This is described as one of the impediments that one has to overcome. There's attachment to material life, there's fear of personal identity in spiritual life, and there's anger. So this anger is increasing. Anger because having been cheated so many times by people who claim to be authorities or claim to be spiritual leaders, and seen this. I remember now, when I was a graduate student at Temple University in the religion department, so our department chairman, a guy by the name of Bernard Phillips, was one of those early spiritual seekers who had gone to India and so many things and looking for holy men. So he came back and he started this department of religion, and so He presented in his courses, in his classes, in his speeches, this idea of seeking out holy people. And so this was his big message, to seek out holy people. And he was preaching this, and he tried to import holy people into the religion department also as teachers. I first learned Hinduism from a person known as in Srila Prabhupada's Lilamrita as the Uptown Swami. It was imported to temple and so on, so there were supposedly holy people there. So then when I became attracted to Krishna consciousness and I went to this department chairman and I had japa beads around my neck, I wanted to tell him what I had discovered. I wanted to tell him about Krishna consciousness and I thought he would approve because that was his whole message. But I was so surprised, he became very, very angry at me. And he said to me, I was trying to tell him about Srila Prabhupada, he said to me, "They all have feet of clay." And I really saw that although he was actually still preaching this in his classes to find out holy people, but actually he was angry. Just as the Bhagavad Gita taught, he was very, very angry. He said, "They all have feet of clay." And this was his experience. He had gone to India, and his latest trip he had been looking at Sufis. He was, traveling the spiritual circuit. and so on. So this was his advice. He said, they all have feet of clay. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established very, very strict standards for his followers. Because somebody, this cheating that cannot go on. And if there's any bluff in the Krishna consciousness movement, if there's any humbug, because Lord Chaitanya wants this movement to succeed on the basis of purity alone and not on the basis of cheating, because so many movements in the past, they have succeeded on the basis, or at least apparently succeeded on the basis of cheating, that my conviction and my experience with this movement is, if there's any bluffing, if there's any cheating, if there's any humbug, in order to protect this movement, Lord Chaitanya will reveal it to the light of day, so that we finally learn an easy way or hard way. The easy way to learn is just simply accept the standard of Lord Chaitanya. The hard way is to engage in cheating ourselves or become cheated because we are not alert, and then by experience learn that there is no humbug allowed. So Lord Chaitanya taught this standard. Everybody is familiar with the story of the chastisement of Junior Haridas. And this is Ancha Lila chapter 2. This story is here. And it's worth returning to at periodical intervals because it is very bracing to read. And so we know that so Chota Haridas, Junior Haridas, was sent by Bhagavan Acharya to beg some rice. And he was sent to beg this rice to the sister of Sikhi Mahiti, who was an older woman and actually a very, very great devotee. She was quite elderly. And so Chota Haridas, who was a sannyasi, was sent by Bhagavan Acharya to Madhavi Dasi, Madhavi Devi, and he begged this rice from her. Lord Chaitanya inquired when he was offered this prasad, where does this nice rice come from? He said it came from Madhavi Dasi. He said, who got it? Chota Haridas. He didn't say anything right then at the spot. But then later on he returned home and he said to his Govindadas, his servant, he said, from this day forward, do not allow Chota Haridas to come here. So Chota Haridas became very unhappy. Nobody could understand. What is this harsh penalty? So Chota Haridas fasted for 3 days. Then Swarup Damodar and some other confidential friends went to Lord Chaitanya and they said to him, what great offense has Junior Haridas committed? Why has he been forbidden to come to your door? He has now been fasting for 3 days. And the Lord replied, I cannot tolerate seeing the face of a person who has accepted the renounced order of life, but who still talks intimately with a woman. And now in the purport, and please pay special attention to this purport, because in the purport, Prabhupada defines very precisely what is the difficulty, what is the offense of Chota Haridas. And it's not, of course, it is the offense of associating with a woman because he is in the renounced order of life, but it's a little more precisely defined than that. So here it is. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that Saralata, or simplicity, is the first qualification of a Vaishnava, whereas duplicity, or cunning behavior, is a great offense against the principles of devotional service. As one advances in Krishna consciousness, one must gradually become disgusted with material attachment and thus become more and more attached to the service of the Lord. If one is not factually detached from material activities, but still proclaims himself advanced in devotional service, he is cheating. No one will be happy to see such behavior. So notice, it's Chota Haridas offended against the principle of simplicity. So the opposite of simplicity, as Prabhupada uses it here, is duplicity. So he was duplicitous. That was his offense. That on the one hand he was dressed as a sannyasi, on the other hand he had intimate association, intimate talk with a woman. A sannyasi, the rules for sannyas are very, very strict. So he had this conversation. Now, this seems excessive, and it is excessive. His offense, Chota Haridas's offense, was actually not very great. But as we'll see, Lord Chaitanya is using this to set an example. He's coming down very, very hard on a very slight infraction of the rules, because he wants to establish for once and for all the highest standard of honesty in the Krishna consciousness movement. So this, even though we may not be in the renounced order of life, sannyasi, still, we are preachers of Krishna consciousness, and it is incumbent upon all of us to be acharyas. When we wear dhoti or sari, we go out, we're saying to people, we're following spiritual life. And we have taken vows, we are preaching one thing. We are preaching four regulative principles. So all of us have to become as disciples in the movement of Lord Chaitanya. All of us have to take this. Don't ruin this movement by offending against simplicity. He says here, simplicity, that is to be another word, arjavam, straight forward, honesty, is the first qualification of a Vaishnava. And to be duplicitous is a great offense against the principles of devotional service. So, Lord Chaitanya goes on, he says, so strongly do the senses adhere to the objects of their enjoyment, that indeed a wooden statue of a woman attracts the mind of even a great saintly person. One should not, then he quotes the Manu Samhita, one should not sit closely with one's mother, sister, or daughter, for the senses are so strong that they may attract even a person advanced in knowledge. There are many persons with little in their possession who accept renounced order of life like monkeys. They go here and there engaging in sense gratification and speaking intimately with women. So here's the deception that Lord Chaitanya is aware of. They're like monkeys. One should strictly follow the regulative principles, namely no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, and no gambling. And in this way, one should make progress in spiritual life. If an unfit person sentimentally accepts vairagya or takes sannyas, but at the same time remains attached to women, he is in a very dangerous position. His renunciation is called makata vairagya, or renunciation like that of a monkey. The monkey lives in the forest, eats fruit, and does not even cover itself with a cloth. The appearance of a very renounced life. The vegetarian, very strict, lives in the forest, doesn't even own a cloth. In this way, it resembles a saint. But the monkey always thinks of female monkeys and sometimes keeps dozens of them for sexual intercourse. This is called markata vairagya. Therefore, one who is unfit should not accept the renounced order of life. Noste seyatan, I think that's right. Know thyself, the Greek slogan. One who accepts the order of sannyas but again becomes agitated by sensual disturbances and talks privately with women is called dharma dwarji or dharma Kalanka, which means that he brings condemnation upon the religious order. So Lord Chaitanya was very, very angry, and everybody became astonished at his anger. So others approached Lord Chaitanya, said, Chotaharidas, he's created such a tiny offense, be merciful to him. He's received his sufficient lesson. So now, I'm sure in the future he'll never do such a thing. But Lord Chaitanya was adamant. He said, my mind is not under my control. It does not like to see anyone in the renounced order who talks intimately with women. And he said, if you keep bothering me about this, I'm going to go away. So all the devotees went to Paramananda Puri and asked Paramananda Puri to approach him on behalf of Chotaharidas. So Paramananda Puri then begged that he showed mercy to Chotaharidas. And so Lord Chaitanya replies that I want to go away. I'm going to go to Alanath and take Govinda with me, and you all stay here. So Lord Chaitanya said, I'm going to leave. So they said, okay, you know what, you know, Paramananda Puri said, you can, you're an independent supreme personality of Godhead. You can do what you like. We cannot understand he said, all your activities are for the benefit of people in general. We cannot understand them, for your intentions are deep and grave. So they went to Chotaharidas and said, okay, he's really adamant. He's persisting in his mood. Surely, sooner or later, he's going to be merciful to you. Because at heart, he's very, very kind. And so, if he is persisting, you persist. And watch Lord Chaitanya from a distance. Krishnadas Kaviraj says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the ocean of mercy. Who can understand him? When he chastises his dear devotees, he certainly does so to reestablish the principles of religion or duty. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in this connection that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the ocean of mercy, chastised Junior Haridas, although Junior Haridas was his dear devotee, to establish that one in the devotional line engaged in pure devotional service should not be a hypocrite. For persons engaged in devotional service in the renounced order having intimate relationships with women is certainly hypocrisy. This chastisement was given to Junior Haridas as an example to future sahajiyas who might adopt the dress of a renounced order to imitate Rupa Goswami and other bona fide sannyasis, but secretly have illicit connections with women. To teach such men, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised his dear devotee Haridas for a slight deviation from the regulative principles. Srimati Madhavi Devi was a highly elevated devotee. Therefore, approaching her to ask for some rice to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was certainly not very offensive. Nevertheless, just to preserve the regulative principles for the future, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enforced a hard and fast rule that no one in the renounced order should intimately mix with women. Had Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not chastised Junior Haridas for this slight deviation, so-called devotees of the Lord will have exploited the example of Junior Haridas to continue their habit of illicit connections with women unrestrictedly. Indeed, they still preach that such behavior is allowed for Vaishnavas. Yeah, that's still going on, some people. But it is strictly not allowed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the teacher of the entire world, and therefore he enforced this exemplary punishment to establish that illicit sexual connections are never allowed by Vaishnava philosophy. This was his purpose in chastising Junior Haridas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in fact the most magnanimous incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he strictly prohibited illicit sex. Then it says, after all the devotees saw this example, a mentality of fear grew among them. Therefore, they all stopped talking with women, even in dreams. So we should
take this example. So a year passed, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't relent. So Jyota Haridas went to Prayag at the Triveni, where three sacred rivers came together. And he decided that this way he would take shelter at the lotus feet of Chaitanya. He entered the waters and thus committed suicide at this holy place. Immediately after committing suicide in this way, he went in his spiritual body to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and received the mercy of the Lord. However, he still remained invisible. In a spiritual body resembling that of a Gandharva, Junior Haridas, although invisible, would sing at night for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to hear. See, this was his special attribute. Junior Haridas was a very, very sweet kirtan singer. And often he would sing for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because his voice was so sweet and his singing was so nice. This was his special attribute. So again, in a spiritual body, not visible to everybody, but to Chaitanya, he was singing to Lord Chaitanya. No one but the Lord, however, knew of this. Then one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to the devotees, "Where's Junior Haridas? Now you can bring him to me." They said, "I don't know. After a year, he went and left. We don't know where he is." But Lord Chaitanya smiled. And then one day, a whole group of devotees went to bathe in the sea. And then they heard, coming from a distance, the sound of Junior Haridas' voice singing. And so they were astonished. So they could hear his voice singing, and so they made a guess. They said, "We hear his voice singing." It was unmistakable. It was so beautiful. And they said they must have committed suicide by drinking poison. And now because he's did a sinful deed, he's come back as a ghost, a Brahmana ghost. And therefore, we can hear his singing, although we can't see his form. So this was their guess. And so our Dhamma said, "No, this is false." He said, "Haridas could not have become degraded like that. He must have attained liberation." And he said, "This somehow or other, this is a pastime of Lord Chaitanya. You'll understand it." So then one day a devotee came to Navadvip from Prayag, and he brought them the news of how Haridas Thakur, Junior Haridas rather, had committed, entered the waters at the confluence of Yamuna and Ganges, and thus left his body. So then this was heard at Navadvip, not at Jagannath Puri. So then Srivas heard it at Navadvip. So then when he went to Jagannath Puri, as he does every year, he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inquired after Jagannath Puri, inquired after Haridas Thakur, and then told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how Haridas had entered the waters at the Triveni. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard all these details, he smiled in a pleasing mood and said, "If with sensual intentions one looks at women, that is the only process of atonement." Then all the devotees, headed by Swarup Damodar Goswami, concluded that because Haridas had committed suicide at the confluence of the rivers Ganges and Yamuna, he must have ultimately attained shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, performs his pastimes, which greatly satisfy the ears and minds of pure devotees who hear about them. This incident manifests the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his teaching that a sannyas should remain in the renounced order, and the deep attachment to him felt by his faithful devotees. It also demonstrates the glories of holy places and shows how the Lord accepts his faithful devotee. Thus the Lord fulfilled five or seven purposes by performing one pastime. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like nectar, and they are deep like the ocean. People in general cannot understand them, but a sober devotee can. Please hear the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith and confidence. Do not argument. Do not argue, for arguments will produce a contrary result. Then, Prabhupada at the end, this is the only place he has done this in all his purports. He's put an appendix to the chapter, and he called Instructions from this Chapter. So this is the only place this has happened. So these instructions are very important. So I'll read them. Summarizing this chapter, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that one should derive from it the following lessons. 1. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is an incarnation of mercy, he nevertheless gave up the company of one of his personal associates, namely Junior Haridas, for if he had not done so, pseudo-devotees would have taken advantage of Junior Haridas' fault by using it as an excuse to live as devotees and at the same time have illicit sexual connections. Such activities would have demoralized the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as a result, devotees would surely have gone to a hellish life in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 2. By chastising Junior Haridas, the Lord set the standard for acharyas, or the heads of institutions propagating the Chaitanya cult, and for all actual devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to maintain the highest standard. So let me just say a few things about that. Such activities would have demoralized the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is what Chaitanya did. He took one of his devotees who was very dear to him and who was nearly faultless and used him as an example. So here's Lord Chaitanya, to whom Junior Haridas was very, very dear, and yet in spite of that, he's enforced such a high standard. So this way we can see how much Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants us to maintain this high standard. When I first, very first time I came to a temple and heard devotees lecture, they lectured about the four regulative principles. And I was immediately attracted to this because at least I had understood that if one wants spiritual life, one has to give up sense gratification. But all other religious groups I had been to or instructions I had heard, they were trying to compromise in some way with sense gratification. So I was very happy to see that devotees were actually preaching these four regulative principles and very boldly about it. So this is the fact. These four regulative principles have to be preached. But not only do they have to be preached, they have to be followed. That example must be there. Otherwise, people will say it's impossible. And we say, no, it's possible. We say, param dasva nivartate. Yes, you cannot do this anywhere else, but in devotional service, you can give this up. So we have to show that it's possible by our example. So this is the only hope people have. Nowhere outside of the Krishna consciousness movement is this standard actually being preached. What to speak of being followed. So we have to be so careful to follow this standard. And if people come here and also they find duplicity, they find bluffing, they find humbug, then what will happen? So we should learn this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to maintain the highest standard. So this Prabhupada preached over and over again. He preached the highest standard and he preached it without compromise. So we will not be able to preach the highest standard if we don't follow. And he said, especially for acharyas or the heads of institutions propagating the Chaitanya cult. Those who teach by their example. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed that a pure devotee should be simple and free from sinful activities, for thus one can be his bona fide servant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his followers how to observe the renounced order of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to prove that his devotees are exalted and their character is ideal. He kindly accepts his faithful devotees and teaches them how much tribulation and disturbance can be produced by even a slight deviation from the strict principles of devotional service. So this will be always when there's deviation from the principles of devotional service. Sure as shooting, there's going to be tribulation and disturbance following in its wake. And that we have seen. By chastising Junior Haridas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his mercy toward him, thus showing how elevated was Junior Haridas' devotion for him. Now notice that, how Junior Haridas never once lost his devotion for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he was chastised by all other standards unfairly. Because of this transcendental relationship, the Lord corrected even a slight offense committed by his pure devotee. So that we will also see. The standards are very high, and we will see sometimes very slight offenses corrected very, very heavy. Prabhupada would do that because he would see in these slight offenses, first of all, the seeds of future things, which would be much, much worse, just as Chaitanya saw in the slight offense of Junior Haridas, you know, so many years down the line, how this could be, could grow and grow. So we have to expect that also. And it, when it comes, then we should accept it as a great mercy. Therefore, one who wants to be a pure devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should give up all material sense gratification. It's a very simple thing to understand. Of course, harder to do. But that resolution should be there to give up all material sense gratification. Naturally, we have so many attachments. But at least that resolution, that I should give up these attachments, not to foster them, not to be indulgent, not to give my material attachments a comfortable chair to sit in and a warm fireplace in which to warm its feet. We should make our material attachments very, very uncomfortable, like unwanted guests. You don't feed them. They go away. Otherwise, the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very difficult to attain. So that's why we're here. We want to attain the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we don't want that, why are we here? So we have to understand, we have to give up all attachment to sense gratification. 6. If one dies in a celebrated holy place as Prayag, Mathura, or Vrindavan, one can be relieved of reactions of sinful life and thus attain the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 7. Although a pure, faithful devotee may fall down, he nevertheless ultimately gets the chance to go back home, back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. So that's also there. May be seen that devotees fall down sometimes and they are punished very severely by the Lord. But don't think that's the last word. We see the two sides of Lord, in this pastime, two sides of Lord Chaitanya. Almost they seem incompatible. Hard as a thunderbolt, soft as a rose. He's very, very hard, very, very strict, but at the same time, very, very merciful. So we must learn this lesson. So the main thing is to see this, how much that this simplicity is the first qualification of a Vaishnava. So we should strive for that simplicity by bringing all our conduct into line with our preaching, by striving very, very hard. And so we read this chapter, study this chapter. It's very, very important. Lord Chaitanya did this pastime, underwent this activity, and used Haridas Thakur, Haridas Jr., just for our benefit. And so that's been presented to us by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So let's see. Otherwise, there'll be so much disturbance because of the Lord's mercy, because He wants to establish the purity of His movement, of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. He will not allow any of this to go on. Sooner or later, all bluffing and all humbug will become exposed. And so that exposure is very, very embarrassing and creates so many difficulties. What to do? Well, here's the answer. What we have to do, we have to become free from all cheating, especially, of course, be honest. Jai Jagannath. Not to pass oneself off as a more advanced devotee than one is, but to make this sincere effort to be actually striving all the time to become free from sense gratification. Therefore, every devotee, if he introspects, can say, yes, these are my material attachments. I can check them off one after another. And then think, now what am I doing to become free from those attachments? And every day should be a battle. One has declared war against Maya. And so we are existing in battlefield conditions. And a soldier on the battle who becomes inattentive is in a very, very dangerous position. So let's take Krishna consciousness seriously. And otherwise, who's going to save if we become contaminated by a cheating spirit? Then we'll not be able to push on this Krishna consciousness movement. So, any comments or questions, Murivaraka Prabhu? You just don't advertise yourself. You accept the principle, and after you take vows, you should follow those vows. It's a simple thing. Don't take vows unless you're actually ready or prepared to follow them. Then if there's some accidental fall down, that can be forgiven. But if there is some accidental fall down, one should be remorseful. And Prabhupada said that will happen. Don't feel, in the beginning he said it's just like a child learning how to walk. So a child learning how to walk, he stumbles and falls, but he keeps on trying. So it's not that, this is not meant to discourage people, but it's meant to cure us of any mentality of slackness. So one preaches the highest standard of devotional service, but if one wants one's preaching to be effective, then you have to follow. If we're not pure, our preaching won't have any potency. It will simply not have the ability to affect people. I don't know if that exactly answers your question. Is that all right? Okay. Robert? Mm-hmm. My understanding, the reason that Prabhupada gave sannyas, even though he says these very strict things about it, and was disappointed later on by so many sannyasis falling down again, was that he wanted to establish the principle of the importance of sannyas. ISKCON, Prabhupada came here, he was 70 years old. He didn't know how many years he had left. And that the things he did in ISKCON in the very beginning were done under emergency conditions. So, and practically, here are people, we weren't qualified for initiation into Harinam, he gave us initiation to Harinam. We weren't qualified for initiation into Brahman, he gave us initiation as Brahmins. We weren't qualified for sannyas. So unqualified in so many ways, but still he did it to establish what the principles are. And all I can say is that Prabhupada was empowered to do that. So that's my understanding of why he did that. As far as honesty goes, and I guess what you're talking about is the capacity for not only humbug and bluffing for others, but humbug and bluffing for oneself. Well, what can be done? If one's a cheater and one even cheats oneself, well, what can be done? So that's the offense against the against simplicity also. The worst form of cheating, that one lies to oneself and one cheats to oneself. Therefore, it's a good idea to try to always be humble. And not take... Now, there's no necessity for... what is the necessity? Why should one want to... If there's any doubt at all, Prabhupada said the standard of taking sannyas is that one should have no regrets. But in my experience in ISKCON, I saw so many people taking sannyas for very wrong reasons. Those who have fallen away, and so many have left the movement, and yet you could see there was such idea of being big, big devotee for profit, for adoration, for distinction, and so. But you have to... And the advantage is that we can learn from the mistake of others. Now we have, first of all, the teachings in Chaitanya Charitamrita, other things I haven't read. Then we have we can learn from that. If we can't learn from that, we can learn from the mistakes and difficulties from others. Then, if you can't learn from that, then you have to learn from your own mistakes. Well, that's the worst.
Really?
Yes.
It means give up sannyas, stay a devotee, and perform your duties.
Yeah. Although here it recommends suicide in this particular way. Prabhupada was fight Maya on favorable grounds. Okay, if you can't do it, if you made an honest mistake, but even if you made a dishonest mistake, if you recognize the mistake, stay in the movement and do like that. Yeah. I think more and more people will come to see things that way. I think that's prudent. I think it's very prudent. Ramana? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. No, this counseling business has been the source of so much trouble. Sannyasis counseling women, especially. Yes. It's not necessary, actually. Well, that's not a necessary feeling either. Yes, yeah, save yourself first. Watch out. One has to be, as long as you have a material body, you should feel yourself a potential victim of sex desire. And just be on the safe side. And don't think, now I'm so liberated, I'm so free, that now I can freely associate in a relaxed and easygoing or intimate way with a woman. You can't. No one could. You just have to be very, very, very careful. Do you have a question or comment? Yeah. Yes? Sridhar? Mm-hmm. Here it's listed as a specific atonement for a specific offense or fall down. One has to go by the order of the spiritual master. If you commit suicide and still you have material attachments, then you'll get a ghost body. If in a holy place you just like a yogi leading through the at will to the top of his Brahmarandra can be considered suicide, because he leaves his body at will, but he has no material attachments, so he doesn't get a ghost body. So the ghost body is there. If you still have material attachments and you get rid of your gross body, then having destroyed your gross body, you get a ghost body. So my advice is, if you have any material attachments, don't commit suicide. And if you have no material attachments, there's usually no reason to commit suicide. Because you're not attached to having a body, nor are you attached to not having it. So what's the difference? Yes?
You're speaking about the liberated from self-gratification. So some devotees, you can see this, many of those devotees in this country are obviously liberated from self-gratification. And then there's those who are just following some of the bhakti.
In their behavior, there's no difference. And that's we should not try to read minds so much. Look at behavior. A person's actions should be liberated. If one is strictly following, then all his actions are naturally liberated. You don't have to get into a thing where you're going to try to read somebody's mind. Prabhupada said, in the same previous chapter, he discusses that. He says even the qualification for a spiritual master is that his actions must be liberated, and that's the important thing. I think chapter 3. This Krishna consciousness movement directly receives instruction.